This is Chris Hughes with the Christian Perspective Podcast with Chris Hughes, where we encourage our listeners to engage the culture with Jesus Christ. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds, so enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
Welcome to Truth Talk Live.
All right, let's talk.
The truth is, I can't hide it, I can't hold it.
A daily program powered by the Truth Network.
This is kind of a great thing, and I'll tell you why.
Where pop culture, current events, and theology all come together.
Speak your mind.
And now, here's today's Truth Talk Live host.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Truth Talk Live. I'm Dwayne Carson. It's my privilege to host today. And I want to ask you a question. How's your heart? How's your heart? You might recognize that question from a television commercial, as there is a commercial on TV which a spokesman for a certain company, they just walk up to random people on the street and they ask them, how's your heart? And then some of those people, they'll say, well, my heart's fine. And he'll ask them, how do you know? How do you know? So I'm asking you, our listeners, as we kick off today's broadcast, how's your heart? But this question is not about your physical heart. That's important. You got to take care of it. But this is about your spiritual heart. How's your spiritual heart? And how do you know it? How do you know how your spiritual heart is? I don't know if you've ever looked at all the times God's word says the word heart, but you know you're going to find it like about 500 times about the spiritual heart. We even find out that God has a heart. It talks about him having a heart. And we do talk about the physical heart in the Bible, but the spiritual heart, about 500 verses there. And I would think many of them might be familiar to you. I've got Caleb Iderly here. Caleb Iderly, welcome today.
Thank you, thank you. Good to be with you.
Caleb, tell me one of the verses when you think about heart. I say, how's your heart? What's the first verse that comes to your mind?
Well, sure, Dwayne. Be Proverbs 4, 23. I think it's a clear one. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life.
Wow. Yeah. Out of our heart comes the springs of life. And Solomon, I look at with date the word 4/23 is spiritual heart awareness day.
I like that.
Yeah, you want to be diligent.
Yes.
Guard the heart. Watch over your heart. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, because the things that are going into the heart then come out of the heart. These are the things that are going to be defiling us.
Right.
And so how's the heart? Is it the way God would want it to be? For me, again, date the word, one of my theme verses for date the word is Psalms 119:11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. And we've got to have a revival, Caleb, of scripture memorization. Transformation is going to happen when there's an acquisition, if you will, of scripture. You're reading it, you're hearing it, but there has to also be the investigation of it. You're studying it, but then you've got to memorize it. And I know that's almost like a bad word for people. I can't memorize. Well, David said, I've hidden your word in my heart.
Yes.
That I may not sin against you. You got to have recall. And then that comes that meditation. As I memorize it, I'm able to chew on it. And there I can then apply it to my lives. And that brings about transformation. So I use, when I think about heart, one of the first things I think about is how much scripture am I putting into my heart? Another one that comes to mind when I think about this word heart is Jeremiah 17:9. Because it tells the condition of our heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Wow. Even from the very beginning in Genesis, it talks about man's heart being desperately wicked. How can anyone really know it? I would hope that you as a listener right now, as you think about this word heart, one of the things you would begin to think about is the heart that God wants. Now, this may not be a verse you have in your list, but Deuteronomy 5:29. I hope you'll make it one of your verses on the heart, because this is where we find out what God desires. God desires, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. What a great verse for our heart to be in tune with what God wants. And we do know, we could quote many verses that talk about God says, I want you to love me with all your heart. We need to have a heart, Caleb, that's after the heart of God. Isn't that interesting? When I was just getting started, 40-some years ago, I'm starting to read my Bible and trying to figure this thing out. I'm reading through 1 Samuel, and I came to 1 Samuel 13:14, and it said, the Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And boy, I highlighted that. Yeah, I had those highlighters. I'm underlining. I wrote in my Bible, I want to have a heart that is after the heart of God. And then I had one of those study Bibles that you could see on the edge. It would tell you other verses to look at.
Sure, yeah.
And so it said Acts 13:22, and I turned over there, and it said that God raised up David as king, to whom he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. And again, the highlighter comes out. I mark Acts 13:22 in my Bible, and I wrote down, I want God to find me.
Okay.
A man after his own heart who would do his will. So, folks, how's your heart? How's your heart? We're talking today here on Truth Talk Live, and it's Wednesday in the Word. And when we come back in just a moment, we're going to go to a passage, Mark 7:1-23, that talks about really what defiles a person. And Jesus is going to set the record straight for what really defiles a person. And he's going to challenge us about what we may be holding as most important, but it shouldn't be. Because, friends, listen, we can make idols at a religious activity and become more concerned with outward conformity rather than inward transformation. And today, we've got to make sure our hearts are in tune with God and that we are not about traditions. We'll be right back after just a couple announcements. This is Truth Talk Live, Wednesday in the Word edition.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Well, welcome back to Truth Talk Live, the Wednesday in the Word edition. I've got Caleb here with me, and we're talking about how's your heart, and Jesus is going to give some incredible teaching about the heart. And it's going to come because of some things that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, have problems with. And Caleb, if you will, we're going to start in Mark chapter 7. Today's verses are 1-23, but we want to go 1-8 right now. Would you mind reading that for us?
I'd be happy to. And for those of you at home, we're going to start here in verse 1, Mark 7, starting in verse 1, it says, Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault, for the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the cup of God, the commandment, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do.
Wow. They came up from Jerusalem, and they're now examining Jesus, and I detect a critical spirit. They found fault.
They did.
Caleb, why in the world did they find fault with Jesus eating?
Well, according to what they tell us, his word tells us that his disciples were not following the traditions of the elders that they had received.
Traditions. Good and bad, right?
They can be, yes.
Here, it seems that they've got some traditions that Jesus is finding himself going, I don't think you guys are practicing the keeping of the commandments correctly.
Yes.
Tell us about this idea of traditions. You said some things today at Wednesday in the Word that we all found to be very interesting. So let me just pitch it to you. They're upset with how Jesus is not keeping the traditions.
Right.
What's happening here?
Well, the word tells us, obviously, which we just read, they had traditions from the elders, but a tradition is going to be nonsense to a person if the person doesn't understand the context of what's going on, and Mark lays that out. But it's the same thing true in our own life. If a person goes into a movie theater, they've never been in a movie theater before, and the screen comes on and says, please silence your phones, you're going to be wondering what's going on, what's coming along. We've all been in a movie theater, and we understand what a movie theater is, but you see that in kids. They don't understand the context, so the parent has to say, be quiet, or shh, or whatever. But in Jesus' day, the elders from prior generations, and we remember Jesus is 30-something years old, so he grew up in this. He saw all this. He knew exactly what the traditions were. He understood them. Obviously, he's also the Son of God, but he was in a culture that was living out things that were made by men, not that came from the law of Moses. And here he's rebuking the leaders who come down and see his disciples are not following these man-made traditions, which are an outward deal, really.
Yeah, they're going through the motions, and they've added to things so that they are outwardly trying to show that something inwardly has changed, but it's backwards. They need to have an inward change. And I think Jesus is really challenging them here. Something's not right with your heart.
Right.
And I told you as we were getting ready to go into this program today, I've had some weird ways, some people would say weird ways of trying to learn scripture, but I've created a file for myself called Scary Verses of the Bible. I pull them out usually around October the 31st
okay.
As a good way of reviewing what are the scary verses of the Bible. And after these guys have challenged Jesus.
Yes.
On how come you and your disciples are not keeping the traditions, Jesus comes along and he just fires right back at him. Like you said, I rebukes him and says, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And I'm telling you, I wrote Mark 7:6 down, that's a scary verse. I don't want to be going through this religious motion in which it appears my lips are honoring God, but oh my heart is far from him. And that's what we're talking about today. How's your heart? Is it something that really on the outside it looks like you have a heart for God, but on the inside you are so far from him? That next verse goes on to say, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Caleb, let's get honest now. Listeners, you may want to call in. We're at 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884. That's the word truth, 34 truth. Give us a call. What are some ways we can be honoring the Lord with our lips, but our heart is far from God? Caleb, what are some things we might be doing outwardly, but inwardly we're just not being genuine?
Yeah, well, that the word is a hypocrite, a two-faced person. Ooh. Or someone who acts one way in one context and another way in another context. Most of us who are adults have either been hypocrites at one time, or we've definitely seen hypocrites. Mm. But in the church, in a church assembly, you're going to have people who they say they're Christians on Sunday and something else Monday through Saturday. We've probably all heard that saying. But even more honestly, you can worship the Lord with your mouth, but your heart, you hate God. You might be in the church, you might look pleasant, but they aren't. Man looks at the outward appearance. James talks about you treat the man who looks good very nice, but the man with the poor and shabby clothes you treat poorly. And he rebukes them for doing that.
He rebukes them for that.
Because the Lord didn't come to save people with nice clothes. Yeah. He came to save sinners.
Yes. Yes. When I think about people, some of them, they're just attending church because, well, that's what we've always done.
Sure. People say that.
And we're just going through the motion with church. Some people may even be reading their Bible ritualistically, where they're just checking it off.
Absolutely.
These are things that are going to keep our heart not in tune with God. And we're going to talk more about that when we come back from this break. This is Truth Talk Live. How's your heart?
Truth Talk Live.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Well, welcome back. This is Truth Talk Live. You've got Dwayne and Caleb. We're here today, having been at a Bible study this morning, Wednesday in the Word. We meet here every Wednesday at a place called Dario. We're so thankful for them. And, of course, we're in Winston-Salem, but you're listening to this all over the country. And we want to hear from you. What are some things that... traditions that you have found have kept you from a genuine relationship with God? And you might want to share that with us, how those traditions were broken so that you could be genuine and real with God. 1-866-348-7884. Give us a call. We're talking about how's your heart, and the scary verse. When we look at this whole thing, the scary verse is Jesus has rebuked the Pharisees and the scribes that Isaiah had prophesied. You're going to be people who will honor me with your lips, lip service.
Yes.
But your heart is far from me. And when we think about how's your heart, we don't want to have hearts that are far from God. Now, Jesus has made a pretty strong statement, Caleb, against these guys, but now he's going to prove it. Read for us the next passage there, verses 9 through 13, as he now gives proof that they are giving lip service and making null and void the commandments of God.
Sure. So Mark 7, 9 through 13 says, "He said to them, 'All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down and many such things you do. And go ahead, Dwayne.
Well, I was going to ask you, Caleb, it seems like to me we've got the fifth commandment here that they're taking and just ripping to shreds. What's happening here?
Yeah, well, Jesus, you're right. He gives them an example to make his point. And clearly, everyone has a mother and a father. And it really goes back to you call it the garden, the original model. God is very concerned about family. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus says, "My Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." God as the Father, but God also creates the man and the woman. He says, "Be fruitful and multiply." God is very concerned about family. He puts the commandment in there to honor your parents because people are going to naturally have the desire to not do so. So there's a commandment, and the Jews rightly had a family life. It's very well known, and the Old Testament lays it out there. But the temptation, the heart is desperately wicked, is to find a way around God's command. Mm. And man tries to do that. And in this case, it was a tradition that Jesus correctly lays out is, if you say this is given to God, then I don't have to support you, my parents.
Yeah. As parents get older, it starts off with, I support my children, but then there comes a point, I'm going to need my children to help me.
Yes.
And they're saying, no, you're not going to have to do that if you give a gift to God.
Right, right.
And so they're just basically ripping up the commandment of God.
That's right. They're trying to find a way around what God's told them to do, which is honoring them with their lips, but their activity, their heart is far from the Lord. Yeah. And Jesus is basically saying, I know you by your fruit.
Mm. Well, this passage has started with them saying Jesus is eating with defiled hands.
Right, and his disciples, yes.
And his disciples. And why aren't you washing your hands the right way?
Right.
So now Jesus comes back and he says, okay, guys, get up close. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what is true defilement. And so we get a major teaching now from the lips of Jesus, Mark chapter 7, 14 through 16. Read that for us.
Sure. So then Jesus says, starting in 14, when he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand.
That's pretty specific here. I mean, when you're reading your Bible and all of a sudden you get, hear me, everyone, and understand, I think I need to be paying attention right now. So listeners, pay attention. Here it comes. Verse 15.
There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear.
That's bookends. He says, I need you to hear. Then he says, you got to have ears to hear. There is nothing that enters a man from the outside that can defile him, but the things that come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. That's the major teaching here.
Yeah.
But it's still hard to understand.
Well, it can be.
His disciples, they were not really sure exactly what he had said.
Yeah.
Because there'd been so much teaching about the outward conformity.
Yes. Yes.
And so now Jesus is going to have to go a little bit deeper with his disciples, and that's going to start at verse 17. So again, going through the passage, we're in Mark 7, verses 1 through 23. Caleb, let's get 17 now through 23.
Sure. So starting in 17, when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods? And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man.
I think you just turned the tables on the Pharisees and the scribes. They're looking at a hand. They're looking at fingers, an arm. He's getting ready to eat. you've got dirty hands. You haven't cleaned things correctly.
Right.
And all of a sudden, Jesus said, that's not what defiles us. He gives this incredible list. And he says, these evil things come from
within.
Within. How's your heart? What's coming out of your heart? Now, that's going to go back to what's going into your heart, because as we put stuff into our heart, as we put those filthy things in, it gives opportunities for it to grow and then come out of us. And instead of bringing forth purity and righteousness and having a clean heart, clean mouth, we're going to end up having filthiness come out of us. So let's just go back for a second. Caleb, where does the defilement come from? What's the crucial issue here?
Yeah, the issue is this short three-letter word that people know, but you don't hear much. It's called sin.
Mm.
And we're born, that is, every human being is born with a sin nature. So we are going to lust and don't have, so we will do things. We'll steal from our brother or our sister, or we'll steal from some stranger we don't know. And the list, you know, goes on and on. It doesn't have to be stealing. It can be lying. It can be adultery. Jesus lists a lot off. But it's a fallen nature at work in us, and we do things. We're known by our fruit. So at one point, the elders came up with a tradition to get around the fifth commandment, and it became part of their culture. So when the disciples, Jesus giving them a shock, and they're saying, what are you talking about? This is something that we know,
yeah.
And he basically is giving them true light, true bread, true wisdom from above, which is the dividing line, because he's the God man. So he's teaching them. Remember, he's teaching them this entire period of time, and shortly thereafter, after he rises from the dead, they're going to be the ones preaching the gospel.
Mm.
So they're learning right now. It's a learning episode for them.
Yeah, I heard Adrian Rogers say, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't like to talk about that.
Yeah.
But we've got wicked hearts. We talked about it this morning at our Bible study, that you don't have to get taught to lie.
Right.
We're born with a sin nature, and we just lie.
Yes.
We are not taught to hate. Hate comes out of our heart, because that's this wicked heart that we have, and something's going to have to be done with this problem of the heart. How do we get to have a heart that is different? And it may be this very day that some of you that are listening, you're listening and your heart's never been transformed. We're going to talk about that when we come back, because we don't want to have a defiled heart. We want to have a clean heart, but that's going to take the blood of Jesus. We'll be right back. Truth Talk Live, Wednesday in the Word edition.
Truth Talk Live.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live, Wednesday in the Word edition. We are looking at Mark chapter 7. Jesus is now teaching. He's traveling. He's been casting out demons, healing, doing all kind of great things. And all of a sudden, the Pharisees and the scribes from Jerusalem, religious leaders, show up, and they are watching. And they see some things that cause them great consternation. They see that Jesus and his disciples are not washing their hands properly, according to the traditions of the elders. And Jesus is calling them out, and he's calling them out because they are giving lip service, but not with their heart. A scary verse, Isaiah said that you will be people who will honor the Lord with your lips, but your heart is far from him. And Jesus is now addressing that. And we've been talking about traditions and how these traditions can keep us from having a heart that's truly for God. We're just going through the motion. Now, we have Jamal on the phone, and Jamal, welcome. Jamal, talk to us. Tell us what you're thinking today about this Wednesday in the Word edition of Truth Talk Live.
Yes, sir, and always good to talk to fellow Wednesday in the Word guys. And hello, Caleb. You doing well as always?
Thank you, Jamal. Enjoying hello.
You're quite welcome. I'm enjoying listening to you guys. So the comments I wanted to make was about changing the heart. Go back to what our friend Steve Noble said. You can't really change anybody politically. Mm. The only thing that's really going to change somebody is the gospel.
Yep.
You know, you can't listen to any Dr. Phil self-help book. You can't listen to some kind of Oprah rant, and you can't change your mind through some kind of chakras and meditation and all that stuff. The number one thing that changes folks is the gospel. So why don't we talk about it? Why don't we get more into it ourselves? We talk about how bad the world is. Well, what are you doing to change it? Who are you talking to change it? Who are you bringing to church? Who you bring into Wednesday in the Word? So that's just going to be my two cents, whatever it's worth. You really want to change the world? Give them the gospel.
Amen.
You have given the answer of answers, Jamal. Thank you. Because if
Thank
we go
you,
back, as we go back to what Adrian Rogers says, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. How does the heart get changed? Well, we can do all kind of works. We can have all kind of programs, but that doesn't change the heart. We have to have a new heart. And this is the beauty of what Jesus Christ does. He comes and gives us a new heart. When we believe in him, he not only changes the heart, we get a heart transplant. He gives us a brand new heart. And I can easily identify with Jamal's statement there about when I was growing up, about doing the wrong things and then trying to do the right thing. And I had some political views that today I don't hold. I had some cultural views that I held back when I was a teenager. I don't hold them anymore. Mm-hmm. But it didn't change because of a person or because of a set of rules. It changed because I came to know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And with that relationship, now I want to determine what his will is for my life rather than what my will is needs to be fit into his way of thinking. I'm not trying to change God anymore. I want him to change me, and he gives me a new heart. And as a listener right now, if you'll call on the Lord Jesus and believe in your
heart,
you will be saved. Praise and he'll change that heart. He'll give you a new heart. Before we wrap up today, Caleb, let's go back for a moment. There is some serious stuff here.
Yes.
When we think about the traditions of men, now this can get a little sticky, but there are some traditions that we could be holding that could hold God back, keep him from working. And I just love to have some of your thoughts on what are some traditions that we're finding in our churches that may be holding God back from doing what he could really be doing.
Yeah. Well, you're right. It this is where the rubber, as they say, will meet the road. But is Jesus, you know, is Jesus Lord or is he not? That's really where it comes down to. And I think the book of James is an excellent book. It's an instructive book. Mm. The whole Bible is very instructive, to your point, learning it. But James 1, chapter 1, 26, this one is hitting home. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. So many times that is what a person in a church service or in any kind of Christian activity can quickly become. They can be doing stuff and actually line up with exactly what the Pharisees were doing. They might not be looking at hand washing, but whether it's the type of clothes people wear, type of music people listen to, the type of praise and worship music the people participate in, hairstyle. But it even can be, you know, we take communion every week, or we take communion once a month, or we take communion. You know, that's it's a matter of the heart. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." You know, Jesus also said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." We're supposed to pick up our cross daily and follow him. It's a daily walk. He's daily growing us. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's I love him more than the sin temptation. I love him more than the world. You know, because friendship with the world is hostility towards God.
That's right.
Bingo.
Well, as we move forward in this study of Mark, I may be jumping a little bit ahead, but when I think about these traditions, I think of how the Pharisees, they were rule-based.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you've got a whole list of things not to do and a whole list of things to do, and you're just consumed with this, and we call it legalism.
Right.
And have I done all the to-do list, but have I also kept away from doing all the things I'm not supposed to do? And you just drive yourself crazy, and you don't know, when have I messed up? Is my hair too long? Is it too short? All these rule-based. And Jesus said later in Mark 8, and we'll see this in a couple weeks, guys, you need to beware of the leaven of the Sadducees, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and the leaven of Herod. Now, Herod was very wicked, so everybody understood, don't have anything to do with the lifestyle of Herod.
Right.
But here's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These are the religious leaders, and Jesus just used the word leaven to talk about that which is sin.
Right.
Be aware of this. Well, what do we have? The leaven of the Sadducees, they were rights-based. We would call them liberals. They're going to, I get to do what I want to do. Over here, the Pharisees, they're legalists. They're rules-based. Jesus said, I don't want you to be about rules. I don't want you to be about rights. I want you to be about a relationship. And the Bible talks about whatsoever's not of faith is sin. I think you said that this morning, that this idea is we're choosing what we're supposed to be doing. How does that match up with our relationship with the Lord? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, we make it our aim to be pleasing to him.
Amen.
Not pleasing to a person, not pleasing to an institution. I want to please the Lord. I want my relationship with the Lord is to be about a relationship, not about rules, not about rights. And I think we can get caught up on either one of those areas. I kind of looked at it like a grandfather clock, the pendulum. It's going back and forth. And at some points, Caleb, I would find myself, let's put some rules here.
Uh-huh.
And I became a little bit rules-based.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm looking at other people. Are they keeping the rules that I'm keeping?
Right.
What are you doing on Sunday? I remember hearing Dr. Falwell talk about how he was challenged on why he would play baseball on Sunday. All of a sudden, he didn't know he wasn't supposed to play baseball on Sunday. Well, that was a rule. All of a sudden, someone said, you can't play baseball on Sunday. And you can come up with, I think there's hundreds of different rules regarding the Sabbath for Jews.
Right.
But on the other hand, there's this component of, I can do whatever I want.
Right.
I'm saved. And Paul had to address the grace issue. Since I'm unsaved by grace, I can have more grace if I sin more. And God forbid, it's what Paul said, isn't it?
Right.
So we don't want to be rules-based. We don't want to be rights-based. We want to be a relationship. We were talking during one of the breaks that I've worked as a role of being a head of school.
Hmm.
And sometimes trying to convey, making sure a person's heart has changed with discipline, I would tell the story how a little boy was told by his mom one day, son, now that was wrong, and you're not going to do that anymore. You go over and sit in that corner and learn your lesson. And so he went over and sat down, and he's sitting in the corner, and he looked back at his mom, and he said, Mom, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Well, that's is something that I think a lot of people in church are. They've never been changed. They've never been reborn. They're starting to conform to an outward conformity, but their heart hasn't been changed because they haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And Caleb, the most important thing to be in a man's heart today is the Lord Jesus Christ. How's your heart? Has it been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Have you been saved, washed, and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb?
Another program powered by the Truth Network.